on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me.
It's Tane's theme song. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Functional Life Podcast, where we talk about all the things that make up a happy, healthy, fun, functional life. I am here solo this week. My partner, my co-host, Jason, had a little family thing he has to be off to attend to today, so we will be flying solo, but we wish Jason well. He'll be back with us shortly. I know he was excited to be here for this one. I will say that I believe this episode has probably been the one I've been the most excited about. This is something that is a passionate topic for me, also a curious topic for me, because as I've learned, there's so much I don't know about this, and that is all things functional health and wellness. We have the privilege of being here with Tane Petrono from Elite Personalized Medicine, and they are a practice here in Peachtree Corners in Georgia that treats functional health and wellness. And I've had the privilege through my wife of working with them. I've got to meet some of the staff at their office and have just fell in love with them. We have several people at our gym and our community here in Johns Creek that are clients and patients of theirs. We've have coaches here in our gym that have worked with them and for them. And we just think they're a phenomenal group. And we were so excited to have them on. So welcome, Tane.
Well, hi. Thank you.
This is the most anticipated probably episode ever. When we just teased that we were doing this and said, would anybody have any questions they want asked? I mean, dozens and dozens of messages came in from all around the community. So I think that part of that is that this is something people are very curious about and they admittedly don't know much about. And what I can tell you from my side, Tane, is that this is also a topic where there's a lot of snake oil and what we in the gym industry call bro science out there, where you can find any number of Instagram influencers that will tell you and pretend that they're any sort of expert on this and give you any sort of advice. And I don't want to say that maybe, or hopefully, I haven't been one of those in the past, but it could be true. It could be true. So right now, we get to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, straight from somebody who is an expert in this field. Treats patients and obviously has the passionate background to explain that. So, Tane, if I could, tell us about yourself, your background, how you got into this.
So I originally started out as an RN, okay. A registered nurse in an emergency room. And I had decided I really wanted to be a nurse practitioner. And so about my first semester in school, out of the blue, I started having joint pain. My left knee, and it was driving me crazy. Well, more joints started accumulating over time. Left knee, right knee, toes, elbows, fingers, wrists, all of my joints were really hurting over a period of several months. At that period of time, I also wound up just having some health issues. Okay. And I got a brand new peanut allergy in adulthood.
Wow.
So I went to an asthma allergy doctor. She ran some tests and said, it looks like you have lupus. I want you to go see a specialist.
Oh my goodness.
Well, that stops you. And yeah. Of course, first semester in nurse practitioner school. And I'm looking through my textbooks and I'm thinking, I don't think I have lupus. And so I went to my primary doctor. He ran some tests and he said, it looks like you have Lyme disease and you've been bit by a tick, but the lupus would be something separate. So still keep your appointment with the specialist. Well, 8 months had went by. I was convinced I did not have lupus, but I went through their specialist, which was a rheumatologist, and I went through several specialists. Everybody agreed when the dust was settled, I in fact did not have an autoimmune disease that was lupus specific, but maybe something else, they weren't sure. And so they had said, well, what happens is about 20% of the time, we do see that there are autoimmune antibodies present, but we don't know why.
Okay.
So let's just wait. And I thought, what?
That's the answer you wanted.
I know. And I went to a second one and same answer. Different one, different medical group, different hospital system. So I made sure I did a different one so that he wouldn't have access to my records and then tell me, hey, I'm just going to repeat what this other guy said. Yeah. I said, no, let me make sure I'm getting an unbiased opinion straight without seeing my other labs, my other visit. He said exactly the same thing. I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a recording. So someone at that time had told me, an acquaintance of mine said, I know a doctor that finds weird things. Now you're going to have to pay cash and it's not inexpensive, but they find really odd things. And I thought, well, sign me up because I'm in so much pain and this isn't me.
Yeah.
I went into him. He ran blood work. 2 weeks later, I came in and he said, oh, you have celiac disease. And I went, what? And I went home and I got out my textbook, and the whole front section of this particular section on celiac disease, couple of pages telling me what to expect. You should be losing a lot of weight. You would be of Northern European ancestry and have some other GI complaints. And none of them applied.
Okay.
But when I went to the back of the section, there's always atypical signs with a disease. One paragraph, and it said every problem I'd had throughout my life, iron deficiency, anemia, joint pain. And I went, wait, that's what I'm having. But then the textbook said 8 weeks later, or 6 to 8 weeks later, I'd be in no more pain if I discontinued gluten. Well, that also wasn't true. Okay. So I stopped gluten. It took 9 months for things to get better. So at that point, at that very moment when I got the diagnosis, I went, wait a minute. I'm working in the ER and I'm seeing lots of people that keep coming in and complaining of the same thing. Well, maybe what they need is an answer. I think I want to do this medicine. This medicine will look for the answers when something goes wrong. And so from that moment on, I started working my way towards getting into functional medicine once I was done with my schooling.
Wow.
And so, and I've done it ever since, and I've just absolutely loved it, just helping people figure out what really is going wrong. If something's not working right, what is it and why, or what we call the root cause.
So it was really a fork in the road because of your own health.
Because of my own health. And I thought, how many people out there keep going into the doctor with the same complaint and they get a medicine, but not an answer? Or they get a condition and they say, well, you've got rheumatoid arthritis, or you just have arthritis. Arthritis is a big one. Wow, well, I've got joint pain. That's basically what they're telling you, is you've got joint pain. But why? Is something contributing to it? And can I do something that resolves that issue? Whereas in primary care, we'll say, well, you've got arthritis and we'll give you a prescription for this. And that's what you have to live with, instead of, can there be a way to get to what's causing that arthritis, and then how can we make it better?
So it's a way of digging deeper than anybody else digs. And your story reminds me, do you remember the show House?
Yes, I love that show.
Yeah, me too. So I was in my background, what got me interested in medicine was really that show. And I was we were talking earlier about in radiology before this, which is another form of diagnostic medicine to give people answers. We, of course, image the body to see if we can see acutely something. Is there a tumor there? Is a torn ACL? Like, we can literally see an answer sometimes.
Yeah.
You are different. And I just remember the House episodes when they would always blame it on lupus. And he would always realize, y'all always think it's a lupus. It's never lupus. It's never a lupus. And they would always say lupus. And he would even throw a fit. And so your story reminds me of that. And maybe, I don't know if House, maybe he was the precursor to real functional medicine. Because that's what those shows were all about, is how many layers deep do we have to dig to get the answer?
That's true.
Well, tell me this. If I could ask one question off the bat that's not about you, is I would love for you to tell me, when someone says functional medicine, how do you define that and what that means? And I will say, let me preface that by saying, to me, the word functional is a super important word. It's wrapped into everything I do. If you look at our logo and our catchphrase, it's functional fitness, functional life. And this is the Functional Life Podcast. When I started my company, the word functional to me encompassed so much of what I wanted to be about. And in our space, functional fitness, when we do a functional workout, what it means for us is a style of fitness that has a practical application in our everyday lives. And for us in the fitness history of the fitness space, that is juxtaposed with, say, bodybuilding, where how big can I get my bicep? Like, as an aesthetic thing or as a performance thing. And it, for us, like, well, having an enormous arms might make you look a certain way, but it doesn't have a real functional application in our life. Like, how much you can bench press if you've got kids and you're a mom and or you're a dad, like I've never once been asked by my son to lay on my back and see how much weight I can press off of my chest. It's just not anything that comes up in everyday life. He wants me to go outside and shoot basketball with him and climb in trees and, you know, throw him around in the pool. That is functional fitness, or go hike a mountain or something that has an application in life. So what does, when we're talking about medicine, what does functional medicine mean, and how do you think that's differentiated from, I guess, what people consider, I've heard the term traditional medicine, Western medicine, I've heard these other things. What do those mean, and how are they different?
So functional medicine, pardon me, so functional medicine is really focused on looking at how the body functions best and recognizing that each body system communicates with the others.
Okay.
And so, and what we're trying to do is when something's wrong, get to the root cause of what's wrong, and then try to work through the root cause, improve that, and get the body to function better.
Okay.
And then with that, there's two body systems I find that really carry a lot of the weight. And I think they carry it at a good blend, at a good balance with each other. And I think it's the endocrine system.
Okay.
And that's all the glands in the body. And they use hormones to do their job. So
right.
That's really important that it be in balance or in harmony.
Right.
And then also, I think the gut carries a good percentage of keeping the body balanced as well.
Okay.
And so that gut, it turns out that tissue, it and the brain were kind of connected when you were in the womb, and then as you grew, they separated into two separate organ systems, but they still communicate.
Huh.
And so you have areas in the gut that we're plugging into by the nutrients we take in through food, and then they power neurological processes.
Wow.
So what's going on in the gut really has a big impact throughout the whole body. So now that's kind of what functional medicine does, is it says, hey, all of these body systems, they work together, and let's treat the body as if all systems work together. Now, when we're talking about Western medicine or primary care, some people call it allopathic medicine.
Allopathic. Okay.
Right. So what usually happens is you've got someone that's like a family practitioner or an internal medicine doctor. And so that for you, that's your primary care provider. And they can also be a PA or an NP, physician's assistant or nurse practitioner in addition. Right. And so what we'll do in that arena is I kind of think of them almost like a general contractor. They're over everything.
Okay.
And they'll see you once a year. You'll get blood work. You'll do a physical. And then if there's other issues going on, they'll see you for the sick visits, or if they're maintaining certain health issues, such as high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, diabetes, then they'll see you depending on what they're doing every few months or so.
Yep.
Now, if you've got issues, like there's a kidney issue or there's a liver issue or skin issues, then we refer out to different doctors. And so then we're giving you to a specialist.
Specialist, yep.
Kind of like when you're building something such as a house, you're going to bring in an electrician, you're going to bring in a plumber. And so we go out to the specialists and have them help out. And then the general contractor's overseeing everything.
Yep.
Well, that's what's happening with your family practice or internal medicine specialist. That's what they're going to do, is they're going to oversee everything. Well, for us, each of those independent groups now handles you independently. There might be a condition that they're just in charge of, but they're giving you a medication or a treatment. And a lot of times, and not all the time, but a lot of times it's not taking into account, you're dealing with somebody else taking care of another condition who might be a specialist, somebody else prescribing medication or treatment for that condition. But you have to work on in your wheelhouse or your particular area of expertise. And then you might not be paying enough attention to, are they taking supplements? What other medications are they taking? Is there something else going on that we need to look at? Now, you try to keep that in your wheelhouse and thinking about that to be sure. But at the same time, there could be side effects that go with all of that. But you really have to take care of what you're on the scene to take care of.
Yeah.
And so that's where that can start being complicated for a patient. because then they've got this person giving this, this person doing that. And you really don't try to step on someone else's plan when they're taking care of your patient. So that's where it can start getting complicated. And it's also where it can be frustrating for patients.
Sure.
And so, but that's what primary care does. And don't get me wrong, it really, really helps. And sometimes you need it. And so, and we do need to be looking at the blood work and following with our patients. But those are kind of the two different fields that we've got going on here. And then there are other medicines that are out there. There are our naturopathic medicines, and we have chiropractors and acupuncturists. And I think they're all really helpful. But when we're doing functional medicine, we want to take all of those things into account. We want to say, well, yeah, we think it's great that you go to a chiropractor or you go to an acupuncturist. And so a lot of times in functional medicine, we'll actually say, hey, it might be good for you to add on these separate modalities as well.
So, interesting. So you, would it be fair to say then, just from what you explained, that you don't necessarily see yourself as competing with primary care, but working alongside of primary care?
Absolutely. Phenomenal. Absolutely.
That needs to be noted, because I think from the little I've heard around the community, people would not think that. They would think, oh, these people are trying to replace primary care.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
No. And I think everyone should have a primary care physician or nurse practitioner or PA.
Right.
You should have someone who has got your primary care taken care of as well, because there are times you might need to see them.
Sure.
And so we don't want to leave them off the
table.
Like,
I'm assuming you don't treat a broken arm. That's not really your thing.
Right.
Someone fell off a swing. You go to your primary care, he puts a cast on your arm, you know.
Exactly. And a lot of times they'll have a visit. Like, you've got some type of an immediate infection or something where maybe you do need a steroid injection for something. And you can definitely get that at a primary care provider's office. I don't think that that shouldn't be part of the picture. If we've got something going on that needs to be taken care of right now, then absolutely you should have one.
Well, and tell me if maybe you hate this analogy, but what you're saying reminds me of something we hear in the community. Unfortunately, we hear it a lot around the political scene. But what you said reminds me of the idea of one being sick care, the other being health care. Do you hear that all the time? Oh, this is sick care. This isn't health care. And I've always, I mean, I came out of that industry, so I've sort of hated that, because there's always, like I said, political agendas behind that. But what you, I think it is worth noting that my experience as a patient has certainly been the system that I've been a part of is there to treat symptoms. And that's kind of it. And we all know that it's quick. And I can, being coming out of the industry once again, I can attest it has to be fast paced, get you in, get you out, because that's how they're financially incentivized, unfortunately, through the traditional insurance payer system. I don't actually never blame my doctor for the short amount of time he spends with me, because I know he's sort of stuck. He doesn't have a choice, and he has to feed his family as well. He also has bosses he's reporting to. And sometimes that's in a practice. Sometimes that's an insurance company, which is frankly ridiculous. But that is, those are the gatekeepers. So you mentioned this idea of doctors. You used the term general contractor. When you were speaking, I was thinking, well, it's kind of like a quarterback. This guy, I'm a sports guy. So it's like, it's a fight for who's playing quarterback. Is it the primary care doctor? Is it the specialist? And coming from where I come, I know the real quarterback's the payer. And sometimes it's this retired veterinarian you get on the phone who's going to approve the CT scan or not. And he doesn't know anything about a brain mass that we think is there. And I'm like, you're playing God with someone's life, determining whether or not you're going to pay for this MRI. And you're literally, I remember being on the phone once with a retired veterinarian, and he worked at Anthem or Blue Cross, one of the major payers, and that was his job now, right? Is the pre-approval process. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, this needs to be in the news. Like, this is crazy. What you are more concerned with is, coming from someone in the fitness business now, you want to know what is the root cause of this. Not, okay, this person has high blood pressure. Well, of course, there's a medication we could give them that would lower their blood pressure. But how come no one's asking, why is their blood pressure high? What's their diet like? Are they exercising? What's their lifestyle like? Yeah. And I'm sitting here in this space, like, of course, I see another side of it now. I'm like, where does health and fitness come in at this, and nutrition? Like, I had for the first time ever, literally a month ago, Tane, someone come to us, and their primary care doctor sent them to not, I wouldn't say us, but sent them to a gym. And I was, I've never heard of that in my life. First of all, I was like, who is your primary care doctor? I'm going to promote them everywhere. But it's a young man, a middle-aged man, I guess I would say, seemingly fit, lean, not overweight at all, low body fat. I could look at him and tell he could do 10 pull-ups right now. Turns out he's pre-diabetic.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know his diet. And he's like, I went to my doctor and, you know, I did my annual physical. I'm pre-diabetic right now.
I can tell you why.
Yeah, she can't understand any of this. And I'm like, and I think if I just started exercising, eating better, it would fix it. She wanted to put me on the medication. She said, before we go on medication, you should look into diet and exercise. I think you could fix this. And I looked at him and goes, I'm not a doctor, but brother, you can absolutely fix this. You have no reason to be pre-diabetic. I'm just looking at you like, this is insane. It's just, right. Yeah, I know it's his diet and the lifestyle. And he knew that. He's like, I think if I just started exercising, it'll take care of it. I was like, yeah, I think so too. Let's go do that. Where another physician might be quick to just, here's your prescription, next, you know, kind of an idea. Yeah. So that gets me amped up, is that I know there are obviously better and worse physicians, there's better and worse gyms out there. There's better and worse of everything. But navigating that is very difficult. We're stuck in this system. I have to ask this. Well, you tell me first. If in a functional medicine practice like yourself, what does that process look like? Let's say there's a patient listening right now that has some joint pain, you know, doesn't know why. They seem like, feel like I'm healthy, I'm young, active. Like, why does everything hurt? They call you. What's the next step?
So the next step is we'd, of course, have them collect some blood work. So I don't want anyone to think that blood work's not necessary, yep, because it does outline a story for us. Okay. It is going to tell us how your body's working to start on a basic level. It's going to give us a look at your liver, your kidneys, your electrolyte levels, see how they are. We're also going to be looking at your hormones, and hormones will be important in here too.
Yep.
So that's a basic profile to get started.
Okay.
We're also going to have them fill out an extensive questionnaire, yep, because many things go into the treatment of a patient and the making up of you as a person. So we want to know, what are you doing for your lifestyle? What are you doing for work? What does your family look like? What is your home situation? What are your stress levels? And then we'll get a full health history. But we want to take the whole person into account to begin with. Then once we get started with that, we have you come and spend time with us. And my first visit's usually an hour. And I really want to get to know you. But I also want to tell you about what we're going to be looking at, what functional medicine entails, and what things can be contributors to stress, and how does the body work. And it's just a basic overview. Then we'll go through the labs together, and we'll make a whole plan and give the patient a plan. But from there, once I get to talk to the person, get to know them, see what medications they're taking, what health issues they've got going on, then we go from there. For that doctor, I thought that was great advice to go to the gym.
Yeah.
But right away, the one thing that comes straight to my mind, hormones.
Okay.
And so now we need to talk about hormones.
Yep.
That poor guy went through medical school, and you say he's a young guy, so probably not far past medical school. And he's a doctor. So the hours, they don't have an 8-hour day. I've yet to meet one who has an 8-hour day.
No.
So it's a long day. And so that's stress. And
oh, no,
so,
this patient was not a physician. This patient.
So not, okay. No, so yeah. So this patient, stress, what does his day look like, or her day?
Yeah.
Whichever patient you've got.
Yeah.
What about their lifestyle? We might love our jobs. They might be the greatest job in the world, and we really get enlivened by that job. Just that job is our dream job. But that job might take a lot from us. And so that can increase stress. And so once we start increasing stress, that has an impact on our hormones. So I'd be going, hey, hold on, what's going on with this person's hormones? And let's address that, because part of elevated blood pressure can be hormones. But also, when we're talking about prediabetes, that's a hormone piece too.
Really?
Right. And so your insulin can actually be elevating, trying to help your hormones cope with stress. And that hormone that's a stress hormone is cortisol.
We've heard of that.
Yeah. And so if we haven't addressed that cortisol, then we haven't addressed why insulin's elevated.
Interesting.
And so, and insulin, after it's helping cortisol for so long, all of a sudden, the pancreas is like, haven't you seen that I've been working overtime? And so I get people all the time where 1 year they go to a physical, everything's beautiful. The next year they're pre-diabetic and you're like, well, I haven't changed anything. Yeah. Where did that come from? Well, that questionnaire will start ironing out things for us, or at least starting to give us a place to look. And then we'll go from there and see
wow.
what's happening.
And I can attest to the fact that I have permission and transparent that my wife is a patient of yours. And as a background, as a nutrition coach and a health fitness coach, I have always been high on blood work. Now, part of this comes from my health history too. You should know that when I don't remember, 10 years ago now, I started developing what I thought and what was a tumor in my own breast. And I was like, well, I don't know if this is a knot. It was hard. And I was weak. I was, again, in radiology. So we ultrasounded it. I sent it to a radiation oncologist at the time that I was close with. And she's like, yeah, it doesn't look good. You need to go to see a surgeon. I think that needs to come out. It looks suspicious. Now, as a background, my mom, our entire family is BRCA positive. My mom has had breast cancer. My grandmother died of breast cancer. All of my aunts have had breast cancer. So this is about as knee deep in our family as it can get. So of course I was like, and I know, you know, you've always heard male breast cancer does exist. It's very rare. But I was like, well, if anybody has this, it's me. I was, you know, in my 20s, late 20s. I'm like, this is scary. So I'm going to have a hole in my boob right now where you can see if it's, I mean, I'm not proud of it, but it's there. And they cut out, turned out it was benign, thankfully. But then the physicians at the time were like, well, we need to figure out why this is. And that was the first time they sent me off for labs as a part of that process. And it came back that my estrogen levels are about twice what the, just genetically twice what the accept, you know, normal ranges are. At estradiol, the range was in like, the top of the range is around 40 something. Mine was 80 something. So almost twice. And so it expressed itself in that, and it grew, you know, in growing this tumor. And so from that point forward, I was treated for that and am treated for it. But now, as a part of that, I became obsessed with it. And of course, I was already halfway into that field anyways. It's easy for me to become obsessed with it, where I get all of my blood work done every 6 months. Full hormone panel, thyroid panel, traditional cholesterol, the traditional. And I do it every 6 months because I just, to me, it's, I think knowledge is power. I'm a data nerd, though. And I tried to told our clients that I really highly recommend this. But again, I've not known always. I can tell them what I do. Tell them what my problems were. But the next question is, what am I looking for and where do I go to do it? And of course, the third question is my insurance going to pay for this? And that's the hard balance. As I look at, well, if it doesn't, this is not all that expensive and it's something you should know. If you can afford it, it's valuable. So I have to stop you there and now ask that next question. You mentioned this previously, you alluded to this. Your path of healthcare is typically not one that traditional insurance system pays for, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so, we don't need to go much further into the argument of how valuable this is. And I can tell you from my own account, from my wife's account, that this is already changing her life. When you talk to someone and speak with someone, The introduction process, this diagnostic test that you start with, that is so beautiful. We're not going to just make you come in our office and we're going to write you a bunch of scripts. We're going to actually do a bunch of tests first, which makes sense. That's the scientific process. Why, of course, we would do that first. That, a lot of times, is going to be after something someone's going to have to pay cash for, correct?
In your practice. Yeah, they do have to pay cash.
And then for the subsequent visit with you, that's going to be something that's out of their pocket, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, and we're not here to adjudicate if it's expensive. If it's not, that's everybody's got the, you know, I will tell people on this podcast right now, this is not something that costs thousands of dollars. This is something in the hundreds of dollars. But what I have had conversations with people are like this is amazing. But here's the problem is I'm forced to participate in this other system, the traditional, like we are. Right. Like I have to have insurance because if I get in a car wreck, I can't come see Tane. I'm going to be put into a hospital, right?
Right.
And if I have to have, you know, colorectal surgery, I can't come see Tane and give her a couple $100 and do that. I'm going to have to see it. So we're already forced to participate in this other system and pay into that system and be subject to the litany of nightmares that system now creates that we all know about in this country at this point. How do you talk to patients about that? And how do you kind of navigate those streets and say, hey, if it's something that's important to you, I still think it's valuable to, another way to say it, but pay even more on top of that to actually solve these issues on this side. How do you kind of talk to patients about that? Is that a big conversation, a hard conversation?
It's a conversation. I wouldn't say it's a hard one, but it's definitely a conversation. I think it's important that they have their primary care. Yep. Now, if I can, I will give them labs that I want run. And if they've got a primary care who's amenable to it, they can draw those labs there. Within a very short period of time, I can use those labs as well. So sometimes the primary care provider will go ahead and order the labs I've asked for, and then we both can use them.
That's what I was going to ask.
We're coming to each other within a short period of time. So anytime that I can work with you spending your healthcare dollars wisely, I'll definitely try to help with that. So, and we have several patients who will do that. But as far as having the conversation, I think it's important to keep them. And then when we get them to where they're feeling better, and once they're feeling like, I haven't felt like this in years, all of a sudden the patient themselves can see what the value is. So they're deciding, hey, wait, this is something worth spending my money on because my health is worth it.
Let me ask you this, if I can interrupt you there on that then. With and as someone that knows a thing or two about labs and have this done, what you would typically test for is much more extensive than any primary care doctor I've ever met would test for.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is it an option that you could, because the next thing a patient's going to ask us, if they've listened to this, is, well, what do I need to ask my doctor for? And we couldn't name them all here. It would be much too long. We could, typically in the past, I've gone by panels. You want a comprehensive hormone panel, an androgen panel, a CBCs. Everyone's familiar with some of these panels.
Right.
Could someone come to you and you say, well, here's the list of things I would test for. And then you take that to your primary care doctor and see if they would order it on the off chance that they could get their payer to pay for all of that.
Yes.
And try to run it that way through their payer.
Yes.
Okay.
And we personally have a great staff. I mean, I think they've done a great job at the clinic of hiring this amazing staff. So they're very familiar with that, and they'll fill in those pieces. They'll give them each specific test. I find when primary care orders tests for you, here's the issue. They have to make sure they have a reason to ask for it.
Yep.
Because if you're going to ask for something and you don't have a reason, that could be fraudulent.
Sure.
You know, and so if you're the payer, then what are you thinking as you're looking at this?
Yeah, yeah.
You certainly don't want a red flag being raised for you as a provider. I wouldn't either.
Right.
And so what we'll do is we'll give them a set of labs. Now, certain ones they're not as eager to ask for, but some do. Some will go ahead and say, sure, I'll go ahead and order it. Yeah. And it's usually thyroid labs. I find that's the one that puts up
a fight,
a stop.
Interesting.
Yeah, because in functional medicine, we really want an extensive thyroid panel. We want to see not only is the pituitary is the part of your brain that's kind of sending out the thyroid stimulating hormone.
Yep.
And so it'll try to get the body to mobilize what's needed for the thyroid to work.
Okay.
So with that, we also want to see what the body's doing in response to that request.
Yep.
That requires more labs. And I also want to look at thyroid antibodies.
Yep.
A lot of times they're not willing to do that because if they thought there was a little bit of a thyroid issue, you just push the patient to endocrinology.
Yeah.
For us, we say, hold on, thyroid's really a big part of the hormone picture. We want a big panel. But I seem to find that that's the one that gets resistance if I'm going to see resistance.
So not the sex hormone panels as much?
The sex hormone panels, it'll be a 50-50.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll go, well, just go ahead and go to your gynecologist, and they'll order it for you. Or if it's a male, your urologist will do that for you. Once in a while, I'll get primary care, and they'll order those as well.
And you all will also go rather deep in testing on vitamin, mineral, nutrition deficiencies as well.
Yes.
I'm assuming there's no payer out there that's excited about, like, hey, if we just knowing what I know about, again, diagnostic medicine, if a doctor's trying to get a lab ordered to rule out you know, hypothyroidism, the payer is not going to say, well, why are we testing magnesium levels? You know, they're going to be like, this doesn't seem related. Although you may say that's very related, you know. Yes. So then before we get into some of the specific things you've mentioned, I'm already kind of amped up and excited about this. Why do you think, if you had to guess, why is the traditional Western payer system and medical system so unwilling to participate in functional medicine and reimbursing that, when it seems to me from what you've told me so far that it could actually save them money in the long run, right? If we treat the thyroid disorder, I'll use my example earlier, if we were to treat the prediabetes or eventually the diabetes through diet and exercise that cost them nothing, then it may actually save them money over the next 20 years of just treating this guy with insulin, right?
Well, this is great. I can actually speak to that because a long time ago, there were insurance companies that would pay for some of functional medicine.
Okay.
And that was several years ago. And then I watched payers stop paying.
Okay.
I watched them pull off and say, we're not going to pay for this test. We're not going to pay for that test. And so slowly they started eliminating what they were willing to pay for. And what I found is at the beginning, when we go ahead and ask for the tests, those tests are going to give us an answer. And so in Western medicine, and Mark Hyman, I believe, is who I heard say this.
Yep.
He calls it name it, blame it, tame it. And so, you know, whatever it is, do a test, figure out what it is, and then blame it, it's hypertension, then tame it, give them a medication. And then that's just what we're going to do. And so that allows you, and I hope I'm not getting too far off topic, but that allows you to just give it a name, take a medicine, and make absolutely no changes. Well, in functional medicine, chances are I'm going to ask you to make a change.
Yeah.
And it's a change that has to be sustained. Mm. Because if it's not a sustained change, then the gains that you've accomplished won't stay.
Yep.
And so when we name it, blame it, and tame it, we can put a medication on there and then never change what we're doing. And I love hypertension. It's my favorite one. Because what happens with hypertension is we first give you a medicine, and a lot of times it'll work on a section of your kidneys, because your kidneys have several different areas that we use to get your blood pressure to be controlled.
Yep.
And so we'll give you the first medicine, but we never talk to you about making a change. Or if we do, it's a follow the DASH diet or follow a Mediterranean diet. And that's as much as I have time to tell you in primary care.
Sure.
Because I have exactly 5 minutes.
That's right.
And so what happens is I give you that medicine, and I just tell you, look at that diet and hope that
you'll
do
something.
Here's a handout on it. Here's a handout. Bye. And so then what happens is you don't make any changes. So a year or two down the road, your blood pressure is creeping up. So we're going to add a second medicine. And then we're going to add a third medicine.
Yep.
But you're not changing anything. In functional medicine, we're going to say, hey, you have to make some changes. Yep. Here's some supplements maybe, but you're going to have to make some changes. Now, those changes are not sustained. We're always great for about 3 months on a new diagnosis when we've found our new way. But very quickly, we go back to our old habits.
Yep. You don't have to tell that to me. I see it every day.
Right, and then here comes medicine. And so what happened with insurance, I believe, is people went back to their old way of doing things, and then insurance goes, well, why are we going to pay for this when you're back adding the second and third medicine again? So in functional medicine, I will educate you. I'll give you the why, if we're able to find that. I'll give you the why, but then you probably have to do something. So it will require you to potentially make a change.
Yep.
And a change that's a sustained change. So now it has to become a new habit. And I've heard it said that it's 6 months is a habit. So 6 months makes a habit.
Yep.
How hard to do that? And if it's hypertension, there might be dietary things you've got to do. Well, you know, the first time you're going out to dinner, or the first time you're going to a barbecue, all bets are off when that good food item's there. And once you start down that path, we're back on our path again slowly, and we're back to increasing our blood pressure.
Yep.
And so insurance looks at that and goes, well, why are we paying for this when
not working.
The result's the same?
Right.
And so then they stop paying. And that's what I found that I would see because I could track the patient's progress.
That makes total sense. Now, I've never thought about that, is that they may see that hey, this isn't working in the long run. The patient's just going back to where they were and we're still having to pay the same. You're right. It takes sustainability. It takes what we call, our motto in this gym is nutrition, intensity, and consistency. Consistency is the most important, because if you can do the first two, but if you don't do them consistently, if you just do them once a week or once a month, you're not going to have any results, of course. It's what you do consistently that actually makes the change. You're speaking my language there, and that makes total sense. If I could pivot just a second now that we understand a little bit about what functional medicine is and how your process works, give us, or I guess give our listeners, what if maybe on the top of your head, the top three things that someone calls you for that you see the most common in our culture, in our community, what would those be? What are the big, you know, what are the low-hanging fruit, so to speak?
Brain fog.
Brain fog.
So okay. Brain fog will be big. Low energy will be big.
Okay.
And so, and then a lot of times I will get a lot of people where all of a sudden I'm gaining this weight that I can't lose.
Yep.
And so probably those are the three big ones, if I could say right off the top.
Interesting. So someone is complaining and they've maybe been treated. They've tried this. They've tried that diet, exercise. They've gone to the physician, but nothing seems to be fixing the issue. You'll hear those then call you and say, hey, can we dig a little deeper on this?
Right.
And figure those things out. Yes. And at that then the next step for you is that diagnostic process. It's like, let's get to know you and look under the hood, so to speak.
Yes.
And then from that point forward, from what I know when my wife came to see you, the patient goes through this diagnostic process. Then the next is usually an in-person. I think you also do remote visits. Is that well?
We
is
do.
That, is that true? Yeah.
Yes.
So the next appointment is a full hour basically with you, correct?
Yes, it is.
So if you don't have a motto, I think you could rip off a little bit of Hyman's motto, and it could be name it, blame it, and taint it. And that would be, there you go. That's just free advice that came in my head real fast. It's like a basketball thing. That could maybe be like a poster on your wall.
Yeah.
That could be your personal brand.
There we go.
So that was a great overview, and thank you so much for doing that, of what functional medicine is. What I would like to do is we're going to actually take a break here on this episode, and we're going to come back with you in just a second, like the second segment, and get into some of the specific things you raised in those three things: brain fog, energy. I know that we talk a lot about thyroid health. We talked about hypertension, gut health. I would love to pick your brain on some of the specific topics that men and women are facing, and perhaps those are different in nature, and sort of dive into just something, giving our listener base some real practical information that maybe if they're battling these things, and they can consider sort of a direction to go, and here's some things to think about, look at, and maybe a reason to even call you, which is ultimately what I hope they will, because again, speaking from experience, this is life changing. And it's not free. It's maybe not even easy. Like I tell people here, same for you, is we're going to ask you to do some things. We are not probably going to ask you. We are definitely going to ask you to do some things. Same as coming in a gym. We're going to, if you want to get in shape, you want to get stronger, you want to feel better, you want to lose weight, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting. You know, that's just kind of common sense. So you're going to have to exercise. And guess what? That's hard. I mean, you're going to sweat. You're going to be out of breath. There's some things that requires. You're probably not going to get to eat Cheetos as much. There's going to be some differences here. But if you want to make the change, that's what it's about. So I would be interested to hear what some of those changes are. If you'll stick around with us for another 45 minutes or so, we can dive into some of those. How's that sound?
I think that sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for this first part. And by the way, for any of our listeners that are listening to this currently, the Functional Life Podcast, if anybody's interested in working with Elite Personalized Medicine, you can find everything you need to know about them at epmlife.com. Once again, that's epmlife.com. Phone numbers there, appointment scheduling, a lot more information about what they treat, what to look for is there. And as a part of them joining us here today, they are offering a discount for new patients. Come to them if you will go and call the number from their website and mention to them that you heard about them from this podcast, from us here at Synergy or the Functional Life Podcast. They've got a special offer for you that, as we talked about a little bit in this episode, that's going to at least make that introductory process a bit more affordable and a bit more approachable for you. So please do that. I thank you once again, Tane, for joining us, and we'll be back here shortly. Cool?
think that's great.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.